I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Scripture reading this morning is from the first book of Samuel, chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was laying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was laying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel." And he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, lay down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son, lay down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he got up, went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Thank you, Lee. This story has so much in it. It's an interesting story in more ways than one because, you know, you may think, well, it's about a young boy who's being called by God and he misperceives and thinks that it's Eli calling him. But, you know, in order to truly understand this story, we got to look at all the underlying things that you didn't get to hear in this particular scripture. Eli was a priest. He was a very important man, and his two boys worked under him as priests. Now, being the leading priestly and prophetic figure is a big role in Scripture. It's a big role when we look at the Old Testament, but here's the problem. Eli wasn't a good leader. For example, Eli at one point thought that Hannah, and when she was having a silent prayer of deep devotion, he thought she was drunk. This is a priest. He didn't perceive what was really going on. And he accused her of drunkenness. Now, that may not sound like a lot, but then you look at his two boys, and his two boys stood outside the tent of God. And they were supposed to be there to protect and to help and to make sure everything went well. But what they did, Hophni and Phinehas, they stole the best portions of the sacrifices for God and ate them themselves. Oh, well, no, we got to go a little further than that. And they raped the women when they came. That's the priest and his two boys. So as you can see, Eli wasn't exactly the kind of guy you'd want running things. But instead of stopping his sons and protecting the people of Israel from their abuse, he ignored their atrocities. It's his boys, and he just let it go. Failing in his duties as a parent, he failed in his duties as a leader. Therefore, God, rather than speaking to Eli, who is the priest, spoke to Samuel, who was a young boy. Because he's saying, you know, this guy, I don't know how God thinks, but is he thinking Eli's a loser? I need to go to Samuel? But Samuel had never heard God speak before, so this was all new to him. Well, things got worse, as you might imagine, and so now we have this story where Samuel is sleeping next to the Ark of God, the Ark of the Covenant. And for any of us who have seen Raiders of the Lost Ark with Indiana Jones, we can just kind of imagine what that was like. That's what I tend to do. I think of Samuel laying there next to that ark, and you hear that, you hear in the movie, and I think, wow, that might have made it hard to sleep. Whatever the case, we've got Samuel coming up as an up-and-coming prophet, right, and priest. And what is his first duty? What do you think the very first thing God has him do? He pronounced judgment on Eli. The old priest who was supposed to be helping Samuel. But as soon as Samuel is commissioned by God, he pronounces judgment on Eli. I mean, who would have guessed? Maybe if Eli had known that, he wouldn't have told him to go back and lay down and say, "Here I am." But it's a mystery how these things happen. It's a mystery to us, reading it in Scripture and not actually being there, how Eli got to be like this, because clearly he was chosen in the beginning. And then he just kind of fell away and wasn't doing things he was supposed to do. It's kind of like the mystery of the missing owner. I don't know if y'all have read these. It's in newspapers from time to time. But there was a headline in the Chicago Tribune on Sunday, February 6th, 2005. And this is legal notices. Have you ever read legal notices? I don't recommend it. It's kind of boring. But in this particular case, it would have been really interesting because it was actually a legal notice published by the Illinois State Treasurer's Office seeking to give money away to the rightful owners. The contents of abandoned safe deposit box, forgotten bank accounts, security deposit checks, uncashed paychecks, and dividend checks. They're trying to reach these people and say, "You have money, and you don't even know it." I remember when they did that in Fort Worth, and it was one of the few times I almost got a magnifying glass just to see if my name was in there. There were so many names. But more than $1 billion was owed to nearly 5 million people and businesses, and the treasurer's office could not trace them. The front page of the supplement listed the names and last known addresses of 10 individuals or couples, each owed $100,000 or more. And what followed were 116 pages packed tightly with the names from Lucille Ackberg to Leonard Zadda. 113,000 names of people owed more than $100 in cash or stock. It seems like such a shame. People could be unaware of their rightful treasures, and it's hard to believe that someone like Eli, who had been chosen by God to be the priest, to watch over the tent, could lose his treasure. And I can't help but think that through the years, God kept saying over and over, kind of like this Chicago Tribune, "Hey, I'm looking for you. You have this treasure if you would just take it, if you would just do what you're supposed to do." But Eli couldn't do it. So it fell to Samuel. A lot of us lose that treasure. How many of us may have heard that still small voice calling us to do something for God and we chose to do something else? Either because it was more intriguing or we felt we had more loyalty to the person than we did to God. Now listen carefully to these words. "Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim, so he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was." I want you to note the following in that. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. We find out that it wasn't before, because if you read anything before Samuel, you'll see that God's out there all the time talking. Moses, Abraham, on and on and on. And it becomes more common after this, because you'll see that God speaks to David and to Saul and to all these others. But right now, it's very rare. So we got to keep that in mind. And visions were not widespread. We know when we get to the books of the prophets, then there's all kinds of visions. And again, before you get to the first book of Samuel, you'll see there were visions. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. Now that's referring to Eli, and I think we all know that means he hadn't died yet. So God's spark was still in Eli. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, where the ark of the covenant was. As I said, before we get to Samuel, we can see that the Lord's word was not rare. It had only become rare. Did it become rare because Eli was unfaithful? Because God didn't see the point? In our own lives, do we not hear God speak to us at times because we are not allowing God to speak to us? Visions. Have we, any of us here, had a vision that God has given us? That's an interesting note. All of these things are things that could happen in our lives, that did happen in lives before. The word of the Lord, visions. Right now we hear some people say they have visions, but usually those visions are the world's ending tomorrow. Hadn't happened. Well, when we speak of the Ark of God, naturally we're speaking of that Ark of the Covenant. And we know that Samuel is lying down beside of it. And as I said, when I think of Raiders of the Lost Ark, that's just what I picture. And when I hear the story and it says God stood there next to Samuel, I have been so inundated with the Hollywood version. I see this old man with long gray hair, gray beard and mustache standing next to him. But who knows what that means? Did Samuel see God? I think we probably have to assume he didn't, since we know that it tells us in Scripture, if you see God, you'll die. I don't know. But that in and of itself is an incredible experience, to not only be next to the ark of God, but to have God speaking to you. But this brings me back to Eli, because he too was sleeping near the ark. Always had. He too had been called to be a servant of God, but chose to do otherwise. Perhaps what Eli didn't get was how such a blessing as to walk with God, sleep near his ark, really worked. Which brings me to the question, do we really get how important it is to walk with God? Do we really understand how important it is to pray to God? You see, when God blessed Abraham, he blessed him so he could be a blessing to all nations. That is, to everyone. And of course, to be a true blessing to others requires we share with them the power of God's transforming love. Are you one of those people? Do we share that transforming love of God with others? Here's the thing. If we're going to transfer others with God's love, we have to be transformed first. If we're not transformed, we can't transform anyone else. If people don't see God's love in us, how can they ever believe that God is love? And how will that ever transform them if they see that we are not the true followers that we claim to be? See, that's where Eli's messing up. Well, I'm a priest of God, but I'm not doing anything God would do. and I haven't done anything God put me in charge of doing. Like the old saying goes, if you give food to a man who is trapped in a pit, he is still trapped in that pit. But if you share the gift of God's ladder to that man, he'll be transformed because he's out of the pit. He can get food for himself. The Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived the Lord was calling the boy, even at this age. Even with all the issues, even Eli's figured that one out. Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." For me, the wording here always invokes that image of God that I told you about. And it also makes me wonder how it is that if Eli picked up on it, if Eli understood it was God calling, how come Eli wasn't doing what God wanted him to do? If Eli is still in tune enough to realize the call of God, why was Eli not living the word of God? But standing next to Samuel doesn't get us to the real message of this scripture, does it? Because the real message is in Samuel's response. Hear me again. The real message in this scripture is Samuel's response. All of that other stuff, Eli and sleeping next to the ark, all of that is not the message. Because the real message is, when you say to God, "Speak, for your servant is listening." We cannot separate, parse, or otherwise change the wording of this response. It is complete. Why? Because it first calls God to speak to him, which is how the message is communicated to Samuel. If we don't invite God to speak to us, how can we get his message? But equally important, "for your servant is listening." Oftentimes people speak to us, or us to them, but the receiver is not receiving. You ever notice that? If you raised kids, did you ever say anything to your child and you realize they weren't hearing anything you were saying? We as adults do that. We may call someone, be talking to someone, they're on the other end of the line going, and they don't have a clue what you said. But you see, when you speak to God, you got to say, "Lord, I'm listening. I'm not just asking you to speak. I'm listening. I'm listening." Here Samuel states, he is listening. That is, he is ready to receive God's message, and that's the question this scripture brings for us. Are we ready to receive God's message? And if so, do we state that to God? All too often we pray for things but never stop to listen to God. It's more of, "Let me tell you this and this and this and this and what's going on in my life, Lord, and this and this and this and this, and okay, thank you, I gotta go." Wow. I bet you God gets prayers like that 1,000,000, 2,000,000, 3,000,000 times a day, if not more. In order to receive a message, we must be willing to listen. Samuel made it clear he was ready for God to speak to him, and he was going to listen. We should treat prayer for what it is, a two-way conversation. Prayer is two-way. It's not, "Let me dump all of this on you, Lord, but let me tell you all of this and then get your response. What would you have me do? Here I am." One man compared speaking to God like a visit to the doctor. This is what he writes. "Suppose I go to the doctor and say, 'Doctor, I have a number of problems. I have a problem of fungus growing under my toenails. I have sores on my arms. My eyes itch. I need a flu shot. I have very bad backaches, and I have tennis elbow. Then, having got through the list of complaints, I look at my watch and say, oh, goodness me, time is getting on. Well, must be off. Thanks very much for listening. Are you really looking to be cured? Are you looking to be helped? The doctor might say, hang on a second, why don't you listen to me? And I think that's God's response. Why don't you listen to me? What if after telling God what we want to say, we end our litany with, here I am, Lord, speak, for your servant is listening. Wouldn't that be a great ending? Well, we all know the old saying, God gave us two ears and one mouth, so we'd spend twice as much time listening. Doesn't work for a lot of us, but it's true. Two ears, only one mouth. The message in Samuel, here I am, is a message that says, open your hearts and your minds to God. Listen to Him. Listen to Him. It will be well worth it. Samuel found that it was. You and I will find that it is. So when we pray, let us take that time to say, your servant is listening. Here I am. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, when we come before you this day, we know so often we're in a hurry and we just want to tell you everything, but we never want to listen. May we change the way we approach you and approach you in the way that we should, which is to ask, what are you going to say to us? I'm here. I'm listening. Speak. Lord, you're always there for us. May we always listen to you and do your bidding, for we ask this in your Son's name, who always did your bidding. Amen. We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.